Immovable joy is how I would characterize, that we should characterize, the joy of Pascha. Immovable joy. Joy that is anchored. Joy that is steadfast. Joy that is lasting. Joy, as our Lord said in today's gospel lesson, that no man, that no one can take from us. That nothing can snatch away. Immovable joy. And yet, as we have come just to 3 short weeks since Pascha, even though we are still in the season of Paschal tide, even as we are proclaiming Christ is risen, yet in this life, in this world, I'm sure that all of us have suffered, have experienced some level of pain, some level of distress. Our family personally has not been untouched by that, even in the midst of the joy of Pascha. You heard that my mom lost a very close first cousin, Lenny Willoughby, early on in Pascha. Pam suffered the loss of one of her employees, Russell, a young man whom she had really mentored. And then just a few short days following the resurrection of our Lord, Pascha, we received the horrible, terrible, tragic news that one of my seminarian colleagues, now Deacon Thomas Weaver, lost his wife, Angela Weaver. And yet, in the midst of these sorrows, in the midst of these tragedies, we still proclaim the joy of the resurrection, proclaiming Christ is risen. There is nothing that can take away that truth, that reality, not even the death that may be around us. You see, the joy is an immovable joy. There is nothing, if we are truly grounded in the reality of the resurrection, nothing that can take that joy from us. And Jesus, in the 16th chapter of St. John this morning, is preparing his disciples. The context for this was in talking to them about the tribulations and the persecution that they would face. But he was also trying to prepare them for the reality that he was himself going to suffer death, that they would face the pain and the anguish of losing their master and their Lord, that they would have sorrow, that they would grieve. But Jesus gives them the promise that while they may not see him, they will see him again. And he speaks of this to his disciples in a very almost cryptic, ambiguous ways. And the church fathers tell us it's a means by which he is sparing them from the full, raw reality of what he's trying to say to them. That at the moment that it would happen, these words would be remembered, that some hope would still abide among the disciples. And of course, we know that in the reappearing of the Lord, he is proclaiming the coming of his own resurrection, of his triumph over sin and death, over the bondage of hell. And Jesus, in talking to his disciples, understanding that they didn't know what he was trying to say, he said in verse 22, "Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." He says it's like childbirth. It's like the anguish that a woman experiences at that moment of labor and the hours leading up to the birth of that child. There is distress. There is physical pain and anguish. But with the coming of that child, she remembers it no more. For the joy of that birth, that new life, causes her to soon forget that suffering and that anguish that she endured for a short time. It's traditional within the Western Rite for the priest to remove his maniple, that's this thing here on the left arm, the maniple when preaching. I intentionally left it on this morning, not because I didn't forget, but it was intentional. Because I wanted to remind you, I've told you this before, but I want to remind you the significance of this and the prayer of vesting that abides with this. This is a servant's representative of a servant's towel. As a priest, I'm a servant of Christ, but it's representative of the servanthood that we all are a part of. But the prayer of vesting for this maniple is, grant unto me, O Lord, the light of temporary sorrow and suffering, allow me to take the joy of my labor. And I've messed up the actual prayer for you, but the point is, it is representative of our temporary griefs and sorrows, and that's what it is in the prayer. To allow me to take up the temporary griefs and sorrows of this world. This sort of gets in the way at times. It's one of the reasons we don't usually have it on during preaching. But you see, it is a temporary thing. When we consider our pain, the pain of broken relationships, the distress that might come with jobs and the stressors that come with that, with the grief of loss, losing loved ones is perhaps the worst thing that can happen. We abide. We abide in the reality that these are temporary. They're like birthing pangs. God is birthing us forth into a new creation. To be a new creation. To abide in the joy of the resurrection. This is why Christians of the early centuries, as they were being persecuted, could walk into the Colosseum knowing that they would be put to death by wild beasts or by crucifixion. And yet they would sing hymns. They knew they were going to their death, but they abided in the joy of the resurrection. Within our secular world, there is the confusion of happiness and joy. You see, we oftentimes buy into the message that we need to be happy. We need to be happy in our job. We need to be happy in our marriage. We need to be happy with our family life. We need to be happy with our self-image. And on it goes. Happy with what I make. Happy with the church I'm in, even. But you see, happiness is really about temporal circumstances. Temporal circumstances that will certainly change. And if our life is based upon happiness, then there is nothing that is lasting there. It is shifting sands. But rather, joy is grounded in the reality and the truth that Christ transcends all these temporal things. Our jobs may pass away. Our loved ones may pass away before us. The most grievous things in this life can occur, and there will be pain. And yet we remain grounded in the immovable joy, the immovable joy of Christ's victory over sin and death, and the reality that Christ is risen. Our parish has not been immune from grief and even some of the sadness of seeing some of our own depart and leave for other parishes in some cases. And of course, losing families to COVID who are still in self-quarantine. But we remain rooted in the joy that God is birthing forth a new creation. And that really begins with each of us. One of the sad things for our parish is seeing those families move on. And I don't know that I've had it formally announced that Woodrow and Sarah Little had decided for a number of personal reasons to transfer their membership to Holy Apostles Orthodox Church, an OCA church up in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. But despite the sadness of losing that, Maria Pam and I had the joy of being midwives, if you will, yesterday, of helping to birth a new one into the kingdom of heaven. You see, Woodrow and Sarah's youngest, Margaret Elizabeth, turned 1 year old yesterday, and because they had been isolated and self-quarantined for many, many months during the period of COVID, they decided that they would schedule her baptism on her first birthday. And so we had the joy of going up, and with Father Timothy Hunicki as the priest there to welcome us, to receive us, we were able to be the sponsors, the godparents, in literally helping to bring and birth this new, as Father Hunicki reminded us, this new warrior for the kingdom of heaven, and receiving her burial and resurrection, and the chrismation, receiving her personal Pentecost and the seal, the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is where the real joy lies. It's not in the temporal things that can disappoint us, to bring us personal emotional pain and distress, but rather it's in the reality that while we may not see Christ face to face, He has given us the opportunity to commune with Him in a very palpable way through His body, His immaculate broken body, His precious shed blood. And in the sacraments and the mysteries of the church, we encounter Christ, and we encounter the reality that though I may die, yet I shall live, because in Christ He has conquered death. And that joy, no man will take from me, and I pray not from you, for it is an immovable joy. Christ is risen. Indeed, He's risen. Christ is risen. Indeed, He's risen. And Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.